Across the rugged Indian territory rides a tall young man on a mission of mercy, his medical bag strapped on one hip, his six-shooter on the other. This is Dr. Six Gun. The National Broadcasting Company brings you another transcribed episode in the exciting adventure series, Dr. Six Gun. Ray Matson, M.D., was the gun-toting frontier doctor who roamed the length and breadth of the old Indian territory. Friend and physician to white and Indian alike, the symbol of justice and mercy in the lawless West of the 1870s, this legendary figure was known to all as Dr. Six Gun.
The territory is a place of many shortages in vital supplies. Good whiskey, scissors, fence wire, and strong boots are all hard to come by and therefore command a very respectable price. It is the mark of wisdom in such a situation to go where such commodities can be easily found and transport them to where they are in demand. This is the secret of my modest success in this world. And who am I? I am Pablo, the gypsy peddler. And this is my friend, Midnight.
Midnight.
It is true he is only a raven, but he has invaluable advice for one in my profession.
100% markup.
It's a principle which I invariably follow. Now, there is one scarcity in the territory which, unfortunately, I am unable to exploit. And that is a serious shortage in marriageable women. Oh, if only I could fill my wagon with demure and well-behaved young ladies in, say, Nashville, Tennessee, and transport them to Frenchman's Ford, where I could dispose of them by the head or by the pound. Then I could retire to a castle on the Danube. But these are the dreams of an idle hour, and I must stick to my needles and pins. My friend Doc Sixgun, however, had much better luck than I. It started, as so many things do, in the Bull Run Saloon in Frenchman's Ford, where Doc was eating his supper. As he commenced on the pie and coffee, we were joined by Mark Corning, the owner of the Circle A Ranch far to the north.
Hiya, Doc. Mind if I sit down?
Pull up a chair and make yourself at home, Mark. You know, Pablo.
Yes, I met Mr. Corning.
Yeah, he come through last year, sold me an imported Swedish steel bowie knife.
Oh, yes, a fine blade, tempered according to the process, handed down from father to son in a little village outside of Stockholm.
Yeah, well, that's funny. I snapped it off short, cutting a slice of soft cheese.
I think I will retire to the bar, gentlemen. I seem to have picked up a congestion of the throat. A little lubrication is called for.
Jose!
That's right. He's a great one, the peddler. I only bought tonight so as to hear him make up stories about it. Don't he beat the Dutch?
Ah, Pablo's an inspired improviser.
Improviser? He's a downright flat-footed, bare-faced liar. Swedish steel.
What brings you down out of the north, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Doc, it's this way. You know my place is about 200 miles from nowhere. Well, a feller gets to hankering after, well, putting it bald like Doc, a woman.
Oh?
Oh, I don't mean the kind of woman you can find in a dance hall. I mean a regular biscuits for breakfast woman with her face washed in a poke bonnet for supper. Kind that won't let you smoke in the house or wear your boots to bed.
Mark, if I didn't hear it, I wouldn't believe it.
Why? Look, Doc, I'm pushing 40 now. Even a prairie dog gets a notion to settle down to one burrow and raise a herd of youngins.
Tell me, Mark, you have a female prairie dog picked out for this domestic adventure?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes, I do. Last year, I went back to St. Louis to settle some business, and I stayed at the boarding house, Mrs. Ketchum's. Great grub, but no liquor allowed. Well, anyways, she had a daughter, name of Isa.
Isa?
Her pa was Danish. Well, anyways, Miss Kitchell died a few months back. left this here girl kind of on her own, like a maverick. Well, I write to her a couple of times. We kind of come to an understanding.
You mean she agreed to marry you?
Why not?
No reason. I just wondered.
Look, Doc, I'm 40-odd, but I'm still hard as nails. And I can outride and outrope any yearling hand on my plate. I ain't bad looking when I shave. And I got a place that's worth a pile of cash. I put it to her straight in a letter, and she wrote back yes.
Well, congratulations, Mark. When does the happy event take place?
Well, that's what I come to see you about, Doc. She's coming on from St. Louis in a couple of weeks, but I can't meet her.
Why not?
Well, I got to get my herd together and cut out the best of them for an Army beef contract. About the time her train gets into Chisholm City, I'll be halfway to Fort Harrison, eating dust all the way.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Doc, you write circuit about them, don't you?
That's right.
Well, I wondered if you'd do me a favor. I mean, there ain't nobody else I could trust. Isis a real lady, and I...
Oh, now, wait a minute, Mark. I figure on getting up to your place eventually, but I take a wide circle way up through the Three Forks country.
Yeah, I know, Doc, but I'd rather have her delivered a mite late than trust her to some of the fuzzy-headed jackrabbits I got working for me. I figured she'd be safer with you.
Mark, I don't like the idea. Maybe you'd better
Doc,
figure out...
Doc, you're the only one I can trust. Now, you can't turn me down. You can call it a professional promoting.
What do you mean?
Well, I reckon with that kind of luck, we'll average out a young un every other year for quite a spell. You see, Doc, you just be drumming up trade for yourself.
And so, 2 weeks later, Doc took the stage over at Chisholm City, stood beside the tracks while the train puffed wearily in from the east. The last passenger off the train was a girl of about 20 who struggled with several boxes, a carpet bag, a parasol, and a fashionable hat with a feather boa.
Can I help you with those boxes, miss?
Oh, that's all right. I can...
I've got it. There.
Oh, thank you.
I imagine you're Miss Kitchell.
Well, that's right. Did Mr. Corning send you?
Yes, in a way.
Do you work for him?
No, I'm Dr. Matson. Mark asked me to meet your train.
He isn't here?
Well, no, you see, he had to deliver a herd to the north. He'll be gone for several weeks.
Oh, well, I thought he'd be here.
I guess I'm sort of taking his place.
Well, it's very kind of you, Dr. Matson. Did Mr. Corning say what I'm to do till he returns?
The general idea was for you to travel with me. I'm going out on circuit in a day or two, and I'll be hitting his place in a few weeks.
Well, I hope I won't be any trouble to you, Doctor.
Why, no trouble at all, miss. Well, the stage to Frenchman's Ford doesn't leave for several hours. We'd better get out of the sun.
The coach from Chisholm City to Frenchman's Ford is rather primitive in its spring arrangement, so that half of the ride is spine-shattering. But when the trail finally twists and shakes itself and climbs down from the hills, the road is smooth and level, and the coach swings gently in its leather straps. The sun beats hot, and the steady pound of the horse's feet sings a dusty lullaby to the riders. Doc sat propped in the corner dozing. His head nodded, and then he brushed at his face as if to chase a fly. But his fingers tangled in soft hair. And as he opened his eyes, he found the girl's head upon his shoulder. He sat there for a while as the girl slept. And then he moved his arm to waken her.
Hmm? Oh, I'm sorry. I was asleep.
That's all right. So was I.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to...
Oh, everybody falls asleep on this stretch of road, even the driver. Why, if the horses didn't know the way, we'd never get to Frenchman's Ford.
Oh, it's so hot and drowsy.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I didn't get much sleep on the train. It was a whiskey drummer who kept trying to make my acquaintance.
I'm afraid a young girl traveling alone has to put up with a lot.
Well, I told him I was on my way to get married. I think that scared him off.
That would be frightening.
Yes. Yes, it is. What's he like?
Mark Corning? Why?
I don't really remember him too well. When he was at the boarding house, I remember he used to talk loud and laugh a lot. And, of course, he looked at me. I used to wait tables, and all the boarders used to josh me about having boyfriends and all. He didn't. He just looked at me.
Oh, I can understand that. You're quite a pretty young lady.
All dusty with my hair all soot and cinders.
Oh, it shines through.
Thank you, Doctor. Is he very old?
Mark? No, I wouldn't say that.
He said in his letters he was in the prime of life. You suppose that's the truth?
I'd say so.
I suppose you think I'm real forward. I mean, writing him that I'd marry him this way.
Oh, no, miss, I wouldn't say that. It's fairly common here in the territory. Men are too busy making out to have much time for courting in the regular way. They take sending to mail order companies for most everything, from saddles to pants. Of course, they take a chance buying that way. You know, pig in a poke.
I don't think that's very kind at all.
I'm sorry, Miss Ketchel. I didn't mean you.
Oh, I just can't keep my eyes open.
You can go back to sleep if you want to. I don't mind.
I suppose it's all right if I rest my head the way I did. You being a doctor makes it all right.
Yeah, sure. That makes it all right.
The next day, Doc started out on his circuit with Miss Isa Kitchell riding a bay mare and three pack horses and a mule trailing behind carrying Miss Kitchell's boxes and Doc's supplies. It was time to replenish the supply of ribbons and steel pins in the hinterland, so I rode with them.
You doing all right, Miss Kitchell?
I've never ridden astride before.
We'll take it easy for the first few days.
Is it all like this, Doctor?
You mean the territory?
No.
Oh, up the north, it's all mountains. Out to the west, the Badlands.
I mean, where I'm going.
Oh, it's very nice country, miss. A little wild sometimes, but very nice. Excuse me. Hey, Pablo.
Yo.
We'll camp for the night by Cottonwood Spring.
Right.
We'll be there soon. You'll get a chance to rest. That is fine, Pablo. How about you, Miss Kitchell?
No, thank you. Ooh.
Legs stiff?
Yes. I'm afraid it isn't very ladylike.
You'll get used to it in a day or two.
Oh, it seems so much bigger.
Hmm?
I mean the sky. I don't think there are half this many stars over St. Louis.
Well, take a big city with modern gas lights, smoke from all those chimneys. Sort of gets between a man and the stars.
You think we're closer to the sky out here?
In a way.
You know, I feel as if I'm starting on a trip that will last forever.
You got that kind of idea, night with the stars overhead.
Do you, Doctor?
Sure.
Oh, it is beautiful, isn't it? I mean, it's just like floating. It seems a shame you have to land somewhere. Well, I mean, of course, I'm anxious to get to Mr. Corning's place as soon as I can.
Of course.
But it is beautiful.
And so, for a week, we rode and visited the homesteads, the little crossroads settlements, the trading posts, and Doc set broken arms and dosed fevers and even pulled a tooth. And in the evenings, we would sit around the campfire. And I, wise one that I am, I would soon crawl off into my blankets to leave the others to watch the embers to sleep.
Tired?
A little.
You were a real help this afternoon, Isa.
Was I? I've never seen a baby born before.
I suppose I shouldn't have had you in. I mean, the young girl.
That girl having the baby was only 17. I'm 20.
It was good to have a woman there. Oh, I do what I can, but somehow it comforts them if there's a woman. They don't feel so alone.
I think I can understand that.
Sometimes I think it'd be a good idea for me to have a woman nurse, the way they did in the Army during the war.
Why don't you?
I don't know. There just aren't any around these parts, I guess. Any woman who's gentle and loving enough to be a nurse, why, she's a cinch to get married herself before you could train her right.
Oh, I'd like that. I mean, being a nurse. It was wonderful the way that girl just calmed so when I talked to her and held her hand that way. It gives you a wonderful feeling to be able to help somebody who's in pain. I suppose it's kind of silly my telling you that.
No, it isn't. You'd make a fine nurse.
I think I would.
But, of course, you'll be marrying Mark Corning.
Yes. The fire's going out.
Oh, yeah, I'll poke at that.
No.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Isa, what is it?
Nothing. Please, don't touch me.
You're crying.
I'm not.
Your cheeks are wet. What is it? Look at it.
No. No.
I don't know why I'm sorry.
Are you?
I shouldn't have kissed you. I mean...
Are you really sorry?
No. No, I'm not.
Neither am I. The fire's dying out.
Let it die.
I suppose the territory north to the Three Forks country is something like a voyage across the ocean. There is no beginning and no end, no past and no future, only the present. We continued on the circuit, and the girl, wearing a shirt of docks with the sleeves rolled up, was tanned by the sun, her hair bleached to the golden streak. And she was, if I am a judge of women, at which I am, very happy.
Beaten by a girl.
I held my horse in.
You're a liar.
Well, yes. Matter of fact, my horse wasn't half as interested in catching you as I was. Now, wait a minute. I'll help you down.
Oh, I can do it. Oh, there.
Oh, boy. Come on. Dad. Tired?
No. No, I could ride like that all day.
Well, the horse couldn't. Sit down.
Where's Pablo?
Back with the pack mule.
Well, I won the race.
Mm-hmm.
Do I get a prize?
What?
This.
Hey, let me take my hat off. I always remove my hat when kissing a lady.
Don't. I'd like to stay in the shade.
There isn't much shade for my hat brim.
There is if you're close enough. See?
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, Gray. Gray, what are we going to do?
I don't know.
We don't talk about it, and we've got to.
I suppose so. We're about 2 days' ride in the Circle A.
That close?
Yeah, I didn't... Well, I didn't want to think about it.
Can't we forget it?
No. No, we can't. Here, sit down.
Gray, are you angry with me?
No.
Well, you're angry about something, I can tell.
For 4 days now, I've been asking myself, why did Mark Corning have to ask me to bring you north? Why did he send me to meet you?
Are you sorry he did?
No.
Then what's the difference?
Oh, you don't understand.
I understand one thing. I was going to marry a man I didn't love. I was going to him because there was nothing else to do. There is now.
Is there?
Gray, what are you thinking?
About Mark Corning.
Not about me?
Mark told me he trusted me because I was the doctor. He trusted me to bring you to him safe.
You couldn't help it, Gray.
Oh, that's not it. You came here to marry Mark Corning.
But I told you that was because there wasn't anything else for me to do. Oh, one of the drummers made an offer, but I just couldn't take that. When Mark Corning's letter came, I just couldn't see anything else to do. I wanted to get away from there, from that drummer and from all the people that Ma owed money to. That's why I came. That's all changed now, isn't it? I mean, I suppose it isn't fair to Mr. Corning, but I don't love him. I love you.
You don't understand. He trusted me.
Gray, kiss me. Now.
Maybe I...
Do you love me, Gray? Do you?
Yes.
Then nothing else matters, does it?
Not now.
They came riding back to the camp, and Doc piled off his horse and lifted the girl down. And before he saw the big paint horse behind the brush, and Mark Corning sitting with me at the fire.
Well, well, Doc, how are you?
Hello, Corning.
I got back a mite early. I figured I'd ride down trail and surprise you. Well, Miss Isaac.
Hello, Mr. Corning.
You look real pretty. Real pretty.
Thank you.
Well, I know I should have met you at the train.
Yes, you should have.
Well, I just had to drive that beef herd over to Fort. You got to deliver on a contract. Ain't that right, Doc?
I suppose so.
Well, anyways, I didn't waste no time once I got done. I near killed two horses riding back. I was that anxious to see you. I bought you something. Here. It's Indian, but it's real pretty. At least I thought so. Cost me a price of a good saddle. Go ahead, put it on. It's a necklace.
It's very beautiful.
Here, let me put it on for you.
No. No, I'll get it.
All right. Well, what's the matter? You both look like a shadow went over the sun.
Oh, we've had a hard ride, that's all.
Well, I sure want to thank you, Doc. You see, Miss Isa, I know that next to my coming for you myself, the best thing I could do was ask Doc to stand in for me. I owe you a lot, Doc, for seeing my bride do me this way, safe and sound and all.
Listen, Mark.
Nah, don't be shy about it, Doc. You don't find a friend too often here in the territory that you can trust.
No, you don't.
So I felt real safe all the time I was away.
Gray?
Well, I reckon we ought to turn in, Miss Isa. You and I got a long trail for the morning.
Gray?
There's nothing to say.
Is that it? Is that what you decided?
What is all this?
Nothing.
Nothing, Mr. Corney. I just want to thank Dr. Matson for delivering me. Just as safe as if I were a mail order saddle or and for making the trip entertaining to pass the time.
Well, what's got into him? Well, I reckon women get flighty when they're going to get married. You think so, Doc?
I don't know.
And in the morning, Mark Corning and the girl rode off to the north, and Doc and I swung to the east. And then, in a few weeks, south to Frenchman's Ford. It was a few days later that I had beaten Doc at chess, which is not usual, and we sat together in silence as the lamp flickered.
Who's there?
Matson.
Come in.
I've been looking for you all over town.
Why didn't you try my house first, Corny?
Well, I found you now. What happened?
What do you mean?
I want to know what happened on that circuit.
Nothing.
I said what happened between you and her. I ain't in much of a mood to trifle, Doc. I want the truth.
What do you think happened, Corning?
I don't have to think, Doc. I know.
Do you?
Well, I reckon she tried. She lived in my house after the wedding for 4 weeks, and I reckon she tried. I didn't figure it'd be easy, Doc. I ain't no fool. You can't order a wife like a pair of pants. I knew that. And I didn't want no woman like a slave before the war just for washing and cooking and all that. But you know, I figured I ain't a bad man, Doc. I figured given a chance to that girl and I could... Well, this is hard for me to say, Doc, but I figured we could be married first and then get to love each other. There ain't no chance, Doc. There ain't no chance.
Why not?
You tell me, Gray Matson, you tell me. She come to me last week and she told me the truth. She said she didn't care. I could shoot her if I wanted, but she didn't care. She couldn't live with me no more.
What did you do?
I meant to shoot her, then come looking for you.
Listen, Corny.
Don't go for your gun, Doc. You don't have to do that. I didn't touch her. I ain't gonna touch you neither. I figured this all out, Doc. You could have had her. You could have taken her right away. I reckon you didn't because I trusted you. I ain't got no cause to gun you, Doc. Not the way I figured.
Where is she?
In town. I rode in with her. I give her $100 for living for a while. She wouldn't take no more, and I told her I wished her luck. I surely do, Doc. I ain't gonna find nobody pretty and gentle like her no more. You know, it's funny, Doc. I suppose I'd have been gun mad, but I just kind of figure I'm 4 weeks ahead. Crazy, ain't it?
Isa, open the door. Isa.
What do you want? Don't come in.
Isa, Mark Corning just came to my place. He said you left.
Yes.
Why didn't you let me know? Why didn't you come to me?
I didn't think I should.
But it's all right now. It's the only way it could be.
Oh? It's all right now?
I couldn't tell him then. Not when he trusted me that way. But now that doesn't matter anymore. The only thing that matters is that we love each other. Isa.
Don't, Gray. Don't.
Why not?
It's all right now. Your conscience is clear. Your sense of duty is satisfied.
Of course.
And now I suppose we can be together, hmm?
There'll have to be a divorce, but that's a formality.
Oh? Tell me, Gray. Is it a formality that I lived for 4 weeks with Mark Corning when I didn't love him? That you let me go with him that way because your conscience hurt you?
Isa, it's over now.
Yes, it is. It's over.
You love me. You said you did.
I did. Gray, I've been thinking of what I should do. You remember how I wanted to be a nurse, to ride with you and bring people relief from pain? Maybe I'll do that. But not with you.
Isa, you don't understand. I love you.
Good night, Gray. And goodbye.
Of course, she did not become a nurse. In stories, perhaps, it works that way. And not here in the territory. Neither Doc nor Mark Corning saw her again. But they could have, quite easily. I've seen her myself many times. She works at the Silver Lantern Dance Hall at Chisholm City, where she is very gentle and kind to cowpunchers and whiskey drummers. And simple folk like me, Pablo, the gypsy peddler.
You have been listening to Dr. Six Gun. Six Gun is played by Carl Weber and Pablo by William Griffith. Today's script was written by Ernest Canoy. Heard in the cast were Peggy Lovin as Isa and Wendell Holmes as Mark. Dr. Six Gun is directed by Fred Way. This is Roger Tuttle speaking. Dr. Six Gun, starring Carl Weber as the Frontier Doctor, with William Griffiths as Pablo, the Wandering Gypsy, has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.